News special report. A strong aftershock with a magnitude of 4.0 hit the New York City area about a half hour ago. It was centered 37 miles west of the city. It follows a 4.8 magnitude earthquake that jolted tens of millions in the Northeast this morning. Maribel Buclouche lives in Union, New Jersey, where she noticed some minor damage.
We were sitting in the kitchen on the island paying some bills, and we felt like everything was shaking. So we were holding on to the island.
Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride.
We have received more than 160,000 felt reports on our website. This may be a new record. We're currently validating this information.
Following the aftershock, social media was again flooded with messages. Notify NYC confirmed the aftershock online and advised residents to remain inside and call 911 if injured. There are no reports at this point of any damage or injuries from the aftershock. CBS News special report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In-state tuition at the Universities of Wisconsin will go up 3.75% next school year. The Board of Regents passed the hike unanimously yesterday. Tuition will go up anywhere from $255 to almost $400, depending on which campus. It's the second straight year of tuition hikes after a 10-year freeze. Fees are going up, too. April is Autism Month. The CDC says one in every 36 American kids is on the spectrum. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She's urging people to be accepting and inclusive.
Really what we're looking for is for people just to be open-minded and patient and understanding.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Sand Creek man was arrested in relation to the theft of over 30 semi-truck tire rims in Lake Haley. According to the Lake Haley Police Department, the theft occurred on March 28th at a business on 118th Street in the village. The thief reportedly stole about $4,500 worth of tire rims. Authorities contacted local scrap yards to report what had been stolen, and one told police they believed they had the matching items. 21-year-old Andrew Charlesworth White was arrested and charged on Thursday. A stretch of a western Wisconsin highway will be renamed in honor of a fallen deputy. On Thursday, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed a bill to designate Highway 128 from Highway 64 to I-94 as the Deputy Katie Lysing Memorial Highway in honor of the officer who lost her life in the line of duty last May. When signing the bill, Governor Evers praised the commitment of Deputy Lysing, saying, quote, "This memorial will serve as a testament to Deputy Lysing's life and legacy and honor those we've lost in the line of duty." And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers hosting the Seattle Mariners. Reese Hoskins is off to a good start at first base and at the plate.
Replay overturned it. Now Hoskins flirting with the pole. Makes it 2-0.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold.
Look, we're trying to win as many games as we can here this year and in the long run, you know, and so that's a tricky thing for us to balance when we're able to add veterans here with the type of track record that Reese has. That's really exciting. You know, he fits so well.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Raptors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee has lost 4 of their last 5 games.
There's at times that we play really well. There's at times that we don't. But at the end of the day, again, we had open shots like AJ had one, Malik had one, BP had one. Like, we had open shots. Pat, I think, had one. I had two. You know, you gotta make shots.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low near 30. Sunny, warmer with the wind picking up tomorrow, high mid-50s. Cloudy, breezy, some showers Sunday, high only mid-40s. Mostly cloudy with a few more showers around on Monday, highs return to near 50 degrees. It's 55 right now.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Tune in Monday. Very special Devils FKX radio show. President Joe Biden coming to my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. You better tune in. Devils FKX will bring you all the coverage.
Hey, buddy.
Is on the scatter.
You gonna be here Monday too?
Yeah.
I probably won't be.
Okay.
But I thought you might.
Yeah. Awesome.
In town somewhere tonight? Or?
Yeah, I'm here for the film festival.
Okay.
PBS. I represent that film festival, so I got here late last night, and I'll be here to record stuff Tuesday morning. So I'll be here through Monday night. I'll have that afternoon day, Tuesday, and show back. Yeah. This works out really well though.
This is pretty easy for us to set up for.
Is it? Hey, Conrad.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, yeah. Once Pete's back in here, you should hear him. Just make sure you leave the WMDX studio unmuted.
Breaks. I can actually hear what's going on in the studio during StreamYard from that.
Or what do you mean?
So last time I did this, I had the WMDX studio unmuted for the whole show.
Right.
And I could hear what people were saying during the breaks. So could people on air. Like on StreamYard.
I'll message you.
Talk to us about post-punk. Mm. And he said, you know, punk, you know, education is the new punk. Well, I'm almost wondering if we're not post-schooling, or if we don't need post-schooling in some way where schools out there just say, enough with the way we used to do things. Let's DIY. Let's get creative. Let's, you know, be innovative, problem-solving, and let's do this differently. And then I was reminded, that's what Educators Amplified talk about on Wednesday.
Hey, so, dude.
You know, everything was firing today, you know, all the senses. And I'm pretty stoked to talk about it. And you know, and we'll chop it up today.
Don't forget Monday, man. Monday, we started the week. What would Matt Damon's mom say? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page starts off the week. She's going to be here every first Monday of the month.
That was like an all-star week, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
It was all-star week on Busted Pencils. This is getting to be a regular thing, Tim.
And we loved it, though, too, is, you know, they say, was it really? Yes, it really was Matt Damon's mom. And we said, though, the great part about that is it's Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, educator, researcher, activist for public schools. In fact, doing her gig before Matt really became the Matt Damon we all know.
Oh, for
sure. It's like, you know, and we say, why do we ask Matt Damon's mom? Well, because first of all, we shouldn't be asking Matt Damon, except for the fact that he is an awesome advocate of public schools and a great speaker. But his mom has the cred to answer the questions when you talk about saying, should we be teaching science, which was our first introduction to Nancy Carlson Page, should we be teaching science to 3-4-year-olds, pre-K kids? And she was like, oh my God, why would we not? Because that's when you're going to grab them. You're going to give them that because their natural excitement level is so attuned to being looking at nature, looking at science. The whole experiment of being a 3-year-old and experimenting. I was thinking about this, Johnny, after the show. Most of the time when you're 3 years old, you spend most of your day trying to figure out cause and effect scenarios, right?
Yeah.
When I push this glass off of the table, right? Will my mom get upset? Will my dad get upset? And boom, that's a science experiment they're conducting right there. So the reality here is you go, no, we got to wait until their cortex is developed and we got to get them developmentally ready. We can't be teaching them biological terms when they're 3 years old. Of course not. In fact, isn't that the biggest problem most of the time with almost everything we teach? We create this sense of saying, before you can do the good, juicy stuff, we have to bore you with the crappy minutia stuff to get it there. Johnny.
Well, Tim, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm only going to work now as much as I can in a post-schooling era. I'm really going to push that. But you know what? In a schooling era that we're trying to move out of, you know, that whole idea of authority and the correct answer and the right thing being known by adults and imposed on children is part of that problem. You know, let young people explore. It's not anything goes. Like, don't let them walk out into a busy road. But let them wander around, you know, in other places. Let them be free, you know, like we're here to make sure that they don't do themselves or one another harm. But we're not here to impose and limit that sort of inquiry that, you know, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on Monday, you know, was saying, come on, guys, let's not make science the schooling science for young people. Like, let's not take the fun and the play out of it, because that's really important. And I'd argue that's important all the way up.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, think about that. That's why I say, Johnny, it's like, that is just, you said, post-schooling, real education, doing punk, doing DIY, is actually engaging in the curiosity of the content. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded. Hey, we got some trending news we're going to come back to, though. Johnny and Tim chopping it up back after the break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
93.5 The Tap.
Yeah. Nah, we're not dogs. But we do love to run. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education.
Hey, nothing wrong with being a dog.
Nothing being a dog on the run, man. Educated educators.
I want to be a dog.
Education. There, I heard a little wolf, wolf, wolf there. 855-752.
That's just the dog in me.
4842.
Dog in me.
855-752-4842. Again, recap of the week. What a great week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, Busted Pencils. That's what, you know, every day of the week. And what a week. And Johnny, though, breaking into the news. Oh, our friend Michael Petrilli over at the Fordham Foundation just can't seem to let things, you know, go. And a couple weeks ago, he was, you know, reminding us that if we just went back to the good old days of No Child Left Behind, when things were getting better, when we could test people and really know if kids were truly doing well or whether teachers were truly teaching, we need to go back to those good old days. Well, to this week, he puts out a new thing here, too, where he's like, school choice. And in fact, you know, say, I do agree with him that school choice has been having lots of victories. But he's kind of worried that the idea of totally school choice for the rich might be a windfall, and uses a little bit of what they would say apologetics type of, you know, an attempt to say, but maybe we should be a little bit concerned about rich people taking taxpayer money to pay for the private school that they're already in. And maybe we should pull back on that, not by saying we shouldn't do it, but by putting together what he's calling a sliding scale. And he reports that my state, where I'm in right now, Ohio, is the model example, because in Ohio, if you're making $200,000, you have to be on a sliding scale and you don't get full voucher. You get some voucher. And he's like, that's a brilliant idea. And it's like, dude, stop it. Just stop it. That's where I'm kind of on this. It's like, it's school choice. And the fact is that if you're realizing that wealthy people who already had their kids in private school are now using this as a way to supplement, and as we've heard in places like in Florida, where a lot of these parents are just buying hot tubs, going to Disney World and stuff like that, it's like, wait a minute, man, stop it. Stop it. There is no such thing as a good school choice, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, you know, Tim, this is gets into the semantics for me. You know, wealthy people are going to do wealthy people things, send their kids to private schools. That's fine. That's a choice. That's the choice. I don't think it's, you know, I'm going to fall back on it again. It's not the government's responsibility to provide that choice. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be, since the beginning of time, there's always going to be, it's the same thing we talk about healthcare. You know, if you've got the money, you can always go to private options. But that shouldn't mean that there aren't great options for everybody. And that's the problem right now is we're not calling for like a ban on private schools.
No,
you know, that's fine. We're just saying like, stop trying to use like public funds to make it harder on public schools. Stop trying to starve out public education. And school choice is nothing but that. It's absolutely not choice.
Right.
It's just language slapped on something that's saying, how can we decimate public schooling so that we can create it like almost like a fast food industry? It would be the similar thing would be to say, like, how can we stop good restaurants and great grocery stores and just have fast food everywhere? And and if we were attacking grocery stores and restaurants, then that's the same thing we're doing here. And I would call that food choice bill, the food choice bill. I'm gonna make it impossible, Tim, to have a good restaurant or healthy food options at the grocery store. And instead, I'm just gonna, you know, decimate those options and plug in McDonald's and Taco Bells everywhere I can. That's the same idea here. It's not to say that there shouldn't be private schools or, you know, elite academies. Great. Have those. They've always been around. They're always going to be around. Stop taking money from our public schools.
Stop taking the money from us.
Stop starving us out in a post-schooling era.
Post-schooling. Right? I got a quote, though, Johnny. In fact, so just so people understand where Michael Petrilli's coming from. Quote, no doubt the growth of educational freedom, as many advocates now call it, is a fantastic development. We take consumer choice for granted in practically every aspect of American society except K-12 education. It's long past time for schools to be subjected to the same competitive forces that almost every other organization in America is. And in our huge, diverse society, it makes sense to embrace a pluralistic school system that allows families to find educational institutions that match both their values and their hopes and their dreams for their children. Take that whole bunch of gobbledygook and put that together. And what he's essentially saying is that we need to get rid of public schools in America because, darn it, you know, we just in our diverse society, we should have a plurality of schools that people can choose from. You know, like, Johnny, we said you already can because there are a plurality of private schools to choose from if you so would like one. It's not, though, then to corrupt public schools into these, quote, choices, because actually in a diverse pluralistic society, the contribution and the commitment to democratic education is something that we say all people get, and the commons then funds that. I know you got a head shaking there, man.
Because what you're reading, Tim, is a lot of good stuff. I mean, and that's the whole thing I want to point out here is like Petrilli is using a lot of great language to hoodwink the reader, right? It's to say like, shouldn't we have this in this great pluralistic society? We should have all options for all of our students to have great education. Well, yeah, of course. Okay. That is the function of a public school system. That already is a function. Is it doing great? Not everywhere. And we've talked about that. So if I'm reading that in an area where the public schools have been starved out and aren't doing so great, right, I'm thinking, okay, I'm with this guy. Like, do what we got to do because this is not working. Here's the thing, Tim, and this is what I'm going to give Petrilli the benefit of the doubt on, right? He's a free market worshiper.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. So he bows to the gods called free market. This is not even the same. And I'm making a corollary to religious because that's how little faith he has in democracy. And this is what it's about. It is about he believes firmly that the way for things to be good, for things to work themselves out, is to allow markets to settle things. Right. But what we know about markets, and markets are controlled, they're manipulated, and they're used in ways to keep particular people benefiting at the expense and exploitation of others. Right. And so this is like free market capitalism gone awry. This historically wasn't really part of schools because schools were, like L.A. Tom called in and said before, they're part of the commons or they're part of our government function. Right. And so there's been limitations put on. They're not an industry. Mm-hmm. They're a stalwart of a strong nation. And so they're democratically governed. Well, you know what? Petrelli and the boys that believe in the free market gods, they're practicing their religion of free market economics. And they're saying, no, in fact, schools can't be good unless there's competition and this idea of unlimited growth mapped onto education. So it needs to be privatized and let's let the market settle them. But folks, what we know by and large, and I made that food analogy before, that the schools that the free market is giving us in replacement of public schools is the equivalent of just putting a pile of sawdust on a table and feeding it to us. It's not quality education, you know? And in the cases where it is, the few cases, it's been, you know, trumpeted as, hey, this is going to be what your kid can have someday. Well, we're sitting here asking, how long do I got to eat sawdust before I can have a good meal? Because that's the reality for so many of our kids is the privatized system has not provided good education to the masses, and public schools can and have. Let's go. It's a post-schooling era. I'm fired up. It's Friday. Let's do this.
Always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin public schools are now required by law to teach Hmong and Asian American history. Governor Evers signed the bipartisan bill into law yesterday. Black, Hispanic, and Native American histories are already required learning in Wisconsin. Evers is also declaring April as Hmong Heritage Month. Tax day is coming up. Some people spend 9 hours and $150 doing their taxes. Now the IRS is trying out a free tax filing service in some states. Adam Rubin is a consumer advocate with the nonprofit Economic Security Project.
It's an interview-based questionnaire that asks people questions in pretty much plain language, and you fill in the answers, and it fills in the tax form for you.
Wisconsin is not one of the 12 states in the pilot program this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Mini Rodding Garden Tractor Pull is underway at the Cedar Lake Arena in New Richmond. The event runs today and Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. and will feature two indoor tracks at 260 feet each with 20 classes. Some of the classes include 1050 youth stock up to 1950 mini rods. Admission to the exciting event is just $5, and for kids under the age of 10, admission is absolutely free. Attendees can also get pit passes for $15. More information on the event can be found on MidwestSuperPole.com. The city of Eau Claire has announced a bear that had been living in a culvert near the airport has been relocated. According to a press release from the city, the bear had been roaming around the city's water well field, and the United States Department of Agriculture helped the city capture the bear and took him to public land in northern Wisconsin, a more natural habitat where it poses less danger to people. Officials believe it's the same bear that wandered into the area last fall, and it stopped to hibernate for the winter.
And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The New York Post reports Conan O'Brien will return to The Tonight Show for the first time since 2010. Conan took over The Tonight Show in June of 2009, but was replaced when NBC reinstalled Jay Leno back into the host chair. The move did not sit well with O'Brien, who moved to TBS and hosted Conan from 2010 to 2021. O'Brien will join Jimmy Fallon to promote his new travelogue series called Conan O'Brien Must Go. Actor Jeff Daniels says rumors about Dumb and Dumber 3 happening are not true, but the 69-year-old actor did thank Jim Carrey, saying Jim wanted an actual actor in the first Dumb and Dumber and not a comedian who would try to top him. He also said a third installment of Dumb and Dumber doesn't happen unless Carrey is in. Sounds like Jeff Daniels is ready to bring those classically trained acting chops or cheeks to the toilet again. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low near 30. Sunny, warmer with the wind picking up tomorrow, high mid-50s. Cloudy, breezy, some showers Sunday, high only mid-40s. Mostly cloudy with a few more showers around on Monday, highs return to near 50 degrees. It's 55 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, Lupinacci, man.
Hey.
You called for it, dude.
Oh, dude, you know what?
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about the dogs, I want to be your dog. Classic from the Stooges.
There you go, know. Man. There we are. Bust, and Johnny and Tim.
Dog
and
me.
Johnny, Tim, and Anya, not the Three Stooges, just your regular Stooges.
Fans busted of pencils. The Stooges, though. Fans of the Stooges, always.
Yeah, busted pencils, fully leaded. 855-752-4842 is the number. Recap.
Give us a call, yeah.
Yeah,
in
recap.
Fact, don't we got somebody on the call?
Oh,
don't we
do?
Got somebody on the line? I think we do. I think
we
L.A.
Do.
Tom's been hanging in there.
Oh, my goodness, I missed that. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We the people. We the people ultimately are the government. We're the people that have the power to change things. And everyone, make sure you get out and register to vote and make a difference in this upcoming election. I want to give a shout out to Joanne, because I thought what she talked about the other day about when you have a high school gym or you have a playground or something like that, that maybe we ought to start putting, brought to you by We the People, aka government. You know, the private sector sure seems to love to do that with football stadiums now in the high schools, brought to you by such and such tire center or whatever it might be. They're advertising themselves everywhere, and it seems to me the only people that don't advertise are the people that actually are doing the most, which is we the people. So I would just like, you know, to throw that out there. I also would like for, you know, as you guys go along here, you know, this upcoming election, truly, I mean, we can be really, really educated about it and be like, okay, this side says this side says that. But we are not in that type of thing. This is a candidate like we've never seen before, and we should definitely not be doing the both sides-ism in our media. In fact, that's media malpractice, because of the fact that we have a candidate that has 89 indictments.
Yep.
We have a candidate that has destroyed a lot of the different institutions that we have a candidate that can't tell the truth at all. We have a candidate that wants to truly be a dictator. We have a candidate that wants to get rid of democracy, and we really not need to. I know you guys well because of the fact that you guys are intelligent people, but the thing is, we need to talk about it like this is really a threat to our democracy, and this person is a threat, not like they do on TV where they almost make him into a clown character, but we really need to take the seriousness of this issue, and we really, really need to, you know, hammer that home. The last thing I'd like to say, and I know I went through this the other day, but I really am thinking about, you know, Jack and the Magic Beanstalk. I'm thinking of the emperor that has no clothes. I'm thinking of the little boy that cried wolf. I'm thinking of Little Red Riding Hood. I'm thinking of the Three Little Pigs. I'm thinking about those different nursery rhymes because they really did mean to tell us something about these certain characters that seem to come along, you know, in our lives. And, you know, there's always someone that's trying to sell the magic beans, you know, buy this, you'll have an erection till next, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call. Man, we love hearing from you. Tom's, you know, Tom's right on cue, and I'm glad he brings it up because, you know, here at Busted Pencils and especially on Civic Media, you know, the emphasis is on democracy and action, you know, and Tom bringing up popular sovereignty and reminding us almost every day. We love you, Tom. Thanks for the call and reminding us that we the people, we the people. And, you know, and he's right. I talked about earlier the marketing gods, right? This idea of like that let markets decide our futures, right? And that's sort of like this idea. Joanne, caller from Madison, the other night brought up, like, hey, how come we're not celebrating public education? How come we're not celebrating we the people? How come we're not reminding? There's a great art campaign out there out of California called Amplifier Art. I'll share it in one of our blogs, or I'll bring it up, or maybe we'll get some of the artists on the show. But, you know, one of their biggest campaigns are we the people. Right. And that's their like poster slogan. Teachers, you can get free posters from your classrooms from it. But they're great art that tells an important battle that we're in right now for democracy. The other thing I'm really glad Tom brings up, and I'm going to stick with the theme of being a dog tonight.
Okay, dog man.
But you know what? We're in a dog fight with this election. This is not a, hey, that's not fair. I mean, LA Tom brings it up. Like, this is a bully. This is not just a bully, like a playground bully. This is a bully with a lot of power who has shown time and time again that he will break laws. He cares not to follow them. And in addition to that, he incites violence. Right. You know what? So pacifism, great. If you're a pacifist out there, like, more power to you. I myself am not a pacifist, right? Like, I'll meet you in a dog fight, right? And that's the thing is about this. We are not in a situation where we can say, hey, you know what? Well, the law says, and I'm not saying break the law, but I'm saying we need to stand up for our democracy and we need to be able to say no to the bully. And so Tom is right. Like, we can't just sit back and say, hey, it's really important to listen to both sides. I need everybody to sit down and be quiet. You know, this is a time where we have to say enough is enough.
Exactly.
Right. And this is the thing. I know that violence begets violence. So I'm not suggesting or condoning the act of violence, but I'm saying to stop a bully, you have to be firm. Okay. And you give no loopholes, no little area of grace to say, well, you know what? We got to hear this out. No, we absolutely do not. We want none of this and we'll have none of this. And if we don't stand firm and united that way, then you know what? We may lose our democracy, Tim, sooner than you or I would ever have imagined it was going anywhere.
Well, it does. It's frightening as you're listening to it, and the reality too. Yeah, there is no both sidesism to, as we've heard from multiple guests going, like, the reality is that we, you know, as we're approaching fascism or even potentially going, like, you know, there are some of our politicians that actually are pretty darn much about the whole idea that you know, they're okay with fascism, right? You know,
well, you know what? Yeah, and censorship. But it was like, you can't say this is the rawness of this. And I'm not going to find a silver lining in this guy running. I won't even name him, right? Because I want to give it. But we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give any credit to it. But there's no silver lining in this except for that. It's raw and it's real. It's not hidden. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this isn't, let's talk nursery rhymes like L.A. Tom talked about. We learned them. Right. This isn't the big bad wolf dressing up like a grandma. This is the big bad wolf just being a bad wolf. Well, right. So I say, you know, I say, let's, like, we see what we're dealing with. He's told us exactly what he is. His actions have spoken for it. And so let's stand up to it now.
Well, and I put out there, so I don't know, we'll take this deviation, but Johnny, I posted up, you know, blog that I put out there today, the American Patriotic Supremacy Curriculum. Now, I kind of put this squarely back in the hands of saying, but education, you know, are we partially to blame? And this isn't a both sidesism that Tom was talking about, but it's recognizing and going, and I, you know, I've used January 6th, and there's been a lot of talk about that now because, you know, as the candidate Trump continues to say he's going to pardon, you know, these people, these are
the man
are,
who shall be named.
You know what? I don't care. Let's you know, whatever. But he's, you know, these are political prisoners.
If you say it two more times, he'll pop up.
Oh, goodness. My goodness. No. Political prisoners. And it's like, look, on January 6th, what happened? That was an insurrection. That was in. And I want people to go, yeah, how did it happen? Where did it happen? I'm also, though, kind of saying it's like, how did so many people in a huge public such as America come to believe that what they were doing that day was acting out some form of American patriotism, that they were involved in this, you know? And it's just like, well, you know, here's where I'm going. Like, because schools, and this is the counter to those people going, well, we've been teaching so much woke indoctrination. We teach people to hate America. No, we don't. No, we don't. In fact, we have a long, long, long history of actually through the act of omission and then celebration, particularly when it comes to social studies and history, we have mostly taught people how awesome we are, how wonderful it is to be a patriot, how great it was to be a pilgrim, how awesome Columbus was. And the fact is that when people then have a really, really poor understanding of the past, and then you get a tyrant such as this man who then weaponizes the story of patriotism. And then guess what? There's what happens on January 6th. So the idea here too, and this is what you say, I'm not, particularly when it comes to a post-schooling era where we're going to get punk about this and go like, wait a minute, I'm not apologizing for critical race theory. I'm not apologizing for teaching the truth of history. In fact, the reality is that we haven't done that nearly enough over the past, God, for hundreds of years, but the reality of going, and this stuff comes home. And so you're talking about going, like, they created this false kind of narrative that the American dream story has been squashed by American public schools. Nothing is further from the truth. The reality is that the sugar-coated narrative of a mythology, which I call the American patriotic supremacy curriculum, has always been fully engaged and fully going forward 100%. We need to come after that and say, like, it's time. Teaching truth in America. Howard Zinn, the reality's here. Sorry, Columbus. Yes, there it was. It was something there. But no. You know, Johnny, I saw your text there. You made me nervous, like I was chopping up or what?
No, you were on a roll,
okay,
man.
Okay, we I was rolling. See, you get me back. But no, man, American patriotic supremacy curriculum. And the reality is that American exceptionalism has been the story that we have taught generations of American students in public schools. And that story has largely been this kind of form of a patriotic, you know, and so when you see people wearing red, white, and blue earmuffs, wearing three-pointed caps, coonskin things, and coming at, you know, I'm talking about all the people that were dressed like, you know, America, it's just like, no, you're not reenacting the Boston Tea Party. Sorry.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going there. I was lost. I mean,
when you saw all of the, quote, patriots on January 6th in their regalia, you saw a bunch of people there with the Don't Tread on Me flags as if they were acting out. And I'm telling you, they're acting out a story that they heard in second grade, in fifth grade, in seventh grade, and then hearing from, you know, and we're going to death to tyrants. Well, okay. Then why are you listening to one? Because if you had any real sense or understanding and knew the history that was a reality of what's going on, if you knew the truth, you'd recognize that you were actually under the command, under the spell, under the hypnotism of a tyrant who used a watered-down story of American exceptionalism that a large portion of the people still believe is true, or if they don't believe it's true, they believe it's under attack, and nothing is further from the truth. Boy, Johnny, that took me off of the news where I was going to come at this, and I feel like,
you know, I just want to add to it. We can come back to the news off of it too. It's like, but I you know, I'm not a sympathizer, right? And I'm a little bit of a political vigilante because I really don't feel well rep. I don't feel like core democratic values are represented very well by either party right now.
No.
So I'm not sympathizing, but I will say, as we talk about this, and I'm sort of, you know, playing off of the theme of the week with this post-punk and then post-schooling era, But, you know, I can't help but think, Tim, that a quote unquote success of status quo schooling has been to separate people out and to really exclude a whole lot of intelligent folks from identifying as intelligent or from being part of a community process. So I think it's, we've done a, like schools and we're in that, Tim, like we're both teachers, even though we go against the grain within it, you know, it's our company. The whole thing is the company we kept has done a really good job of disenfranchising a whole lot of folks who were ready to be misled and there be a misled. So I'm not sympathizing with them, but I am saying like, man, if I think about schooling, it has created this monstrous mess that we're in.
And don't mess me up. Don't take me as sympathizing. It's just a critical.
Oh, I don't think you're a sympathizer, man. I know you're a hater of those.
Hey, man. Busted Pencils, 855-752-4842. You can join us one more time. Busted Pencils back after the break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Yeah, they always come in there 7 dots.
School's out.
School's out. Not yet, though. You got one more time. 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk on a Friday. TGIF or TGIBP Friday. You get all these acronyms. They go backwards. They forward. I learned a new acronym, which is going to go like, really, dude? It took you that long? FOMO. I didn't know fear. I didn't know.
But I'm old and I left. Anya was already throwing up a heart symbol with her hands. Oh, bless your heart, Tim.
Oh my God. I know. Bless your heart. Like, well, and I don't know. There's a whole story, but all right, Johnny, back, you know, got some raw. We love that. LA Tom, thanks for setting Johnny and I up there for that, you know, great little segment. The American Patriotic Supremacy curriculum. My goodness. Though, Johnny, one more news story though before we end the week, because you know, it's News Friday. Coming out of one of our favorite publications, and when I say that, it doesn't mean it's great or not great. It's just one of the ones where we grab our news. Headline, only about half of kindergarten, first, and second grade students are on track for reading. And guess what, Johnny? According to this, The data, that's D-A-T-A, that would be plural for datum. So a whole bunch of datas or data-es, or you want to call it, all of the numbers say that too many students, kindergarten, first and second grade, are at risk of failing to read proficiently by the end of third grade.
Oh, here you go with this business again.
And then literacy rates in the U.S. remain a concern, according to Dibbles. That's Dibbles. That's a test. And we got to remind people, what is Dibbles? Well, it's the dynamic indicator of basic Dibbles. Literacy. Yeah, Dibbles. You know, my daughter.
I leave some Dibbles in the bathroom earlier.
Yeah. Man, do you need Lysol after? Never mind. Dibbles is what they use in this in the early grades. And I told the story when we had Paul Thomas on, who really was coming in about the evidence. And one of the measures in a Dibbles test is how fast can the kindergarten, first grader, and second grader read nonsense words, and how many of those nonsense words can they read within a certain time there. And then you measure those students, and then every time you do it, you're looking for them to increase their fluency. Or, as I found out when my daughter was in first grade, her speed of reading nonsense grades was slow, and they were concerned that she might not be getting ready to read. And I went in and went, okay, but what happens if she's reading already? And they're like, and I don't throw any shade on the teachers for this because they were forced to do it, but it was just like, well, she's reading, but her nonsense words, she's not doing them fast enough. And I'm like, do we understand what we're talking about? Nonsense words, not real words. And she's not reading not real words fast enough, but she is reading real words and reading real books. And you're worried about her Dibbles test. So when I start to see news putting out that we need to be, as a nation, concerned about our kindergartners, first and second graders, because their Dibbles scores are not indicating that they're proficient, I'm like, oh man, here we go with the catastrophe and the failing schools narrative and everything's horrible. And I want to bring this up again, Johnny, because there's a key word in the sentence. The data that shows says that they won't be able to read proficiently. We've got to define that word proficiently, because that word is used all the time, so that my neighbor thinks that kindergarten, first and second graders can't read third grade. Proficient does not mean can't read at grade level. Proficient is truly a term that means A plus, awesome, the above, way above all that. Proficient, not
it's the top 20%. Yeah, you know, it's something defined by the test, you know, right. Evaluators, the data collectors, you know, and the data worshipers, right? The data worshipers and the market folks that we talked about earlier are they're in the same room hanging out together, because the whole way of defining that, Tim, we said about it before, it's for the general public to feel like, you said it, like young people are failing, like mm-hmm. schools are failing, like we're doomed, you know, because proficient to you and I, Tim, at a glance, it means like, wow, they're not, if you're not proficient, you're really struggling, because you don't even know nonsense words. But this is, again, the top 20% or so right. folks taking this test. It doesn't even mean that the other 80% are not able to read these, or not on track, or not doing well. They're just defined as not proficient. In order to slap it in an article like that and have everybody running around saying, oh no, what do we do? And conveniently, guess who's there to say what we can do? People interested in privatizing education. They're like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll try different schools, and public schools are failing. So it's manufactured failure. These young people are in every way on track. And in a post-schooling era, mm-hmm. they and their teachers are going to focus on the things that matter the most: their health, their well-being, their creativity, the inquiry together, the problem solving together, valuing human rights, you know, really thinking about not only dreaming about a better world, but enacting it.
How about this one, though, too, John?
That's going to be happening.
Come on, this one's really important. How about in real words?
Well, here's the thing, Tim. Who's to define real words? Like, why we even care?
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about a post. Call up and gripe with me if you got a beef. I told you I'm a dog. I'll have it out with you. But I just want to say, like, out there, I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, what you are. I mean, stop telling children what's right and wrong.
Well,
no. If they're not getting hurt, they're not hurting anybody. Whether the word is real or not doesn't matter to me. Ask them questions. What does that word mean? What are all these things? Stop having one correct answer. It's at the end of the book. And guess what? Don't look at it.
But, Johnny, that word, though, too, we got to put it Dibbles. Out there. And the reality, though, too, here is that it is weaponized. And we need publications that are putting this news out to actually be critical themselves. And this is why I call attention to this. I don't think K-12 is doing anything intentional, but printing this headline it shouldn't be printed that way, because the reality, Johnny, you said the top 20%, that's what we're talking about. We have no idea the other students, they might all be perfectly fine. And in fact, we do know that the majority, the vast majority of kids are on track to read perfectly fine.
Tim, it's been a great week with you, man. I want to thank you and thank Anya and thank all of our listeners. Hey, catch us on Monday. We'll be back in the saddle. No shows tomorrow, Sunday. So, Tim, don't have FOMO, okay? I'll see you Monday, my guy.
All right, no FOMO, no FOMO.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Tune in Monday. Very special Devils Advocates radio show. President Joe Biden coming to my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. You better tune in. Devils Advocates will bring you all the coverage.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingies.
Winged Thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingies.
The Winged Thingies.
Matt and Air on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette.